Well, good morning again. So good to have you in worship. And we've been doing a series on home improvement. And this morning we're looking at the blessings of boundaries. We're looking at walls. And we have two scripture readings. The first is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is what Paul writes. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then we have a reading from Solomon, that great person of wisdom, from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. And he writes this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we looked in our home improvement so far at the foundation. Last week, we looked at one of my favorite rooms, which is the dining room, right? We just use ours for the big holiday dinners, but we talked about guess who's coming to dinner. And this morning, we're looking at walls. How many people love walls? Seriously? You love okay, that's fine. That's fine. Most of us don't love walls. I got to be honest with you, right? I mean, I love that wall, right? We love the things that are on the wall, the space that it creates, but most of us don't love walls. But what will we do without walls? The truth is that I have learned to love walls, but it's taken some time. In fact, I've been telling you that one of my favorite construction projects and service projects is Habitat for Humanity, and the favorite thing that I can do is to do the wall raising, right? So I brought my Habitat for Humanity women's build hard hat out again, and instead of the toolbox, I brought my tool belt. Why the tool belt? I didn't bring all the tools in the tool belt because it'd be pretty heavy, and no, I'm not going to put it on because I am wearing the microphone, so it would do bad things for the microphone. But I don't know if you have a tool belt, but you could do lots of projects with a toolbox. But if you're going to raise walls, you're going to put up walls, you really need a tool belt. So all my construction people out there know that, right? And frankly, I kind of like wearing a tool belt. Now, I do like taking it off at lunchtime, but I'll be honest about that. But I can put this kind of over here, and I think I'm going to go ahead and take the helmet off because it does get hot with that on. But oh, yeah, that looks like serious business, doesn't it? Got some tools in there. And I always, as I said before, love taking students from Purdue. We did a spring break mission trip every spring break, and then we'd either go to New Orleans usually or down to Florida. And our favorite project was always to raise walls. In fact, talking to the project manager ahead of time, I said, can we please raise walls? Or do the roof was the other kind of thing. Because it's amazing what happens. So you get to the project site, and if you see it, there's just a cement foundation, and all the students go like, is that going to be a house? Is that big enough for a house like that? And we try to draw sort of on their imagination, say, well, this is going to look like, and families or what have you, and it's like, you know it's just drawn a blank. But then we do the wall raising, right? And some of the kids especially have never done construction again. They're sort of from suburban homes, and, you know, a service project was, maybe sending goods overseas or something. So here they're really going to sweat, right? And so they're not really excited, but they start doing the walls. They start putting these walls up, and you need a lot of teamwork to put up walls. And they start to get pretty exciting about halfway through. And then when we get the walls around the outside of the house, it's like, hey, you know, I can see the house there. Don't see the rooms, and then we start putting up the interior walls, right? And we explain some walls are load-bearing, right? So they got to really check those. And some walls are non-load-bearing. Kind of need to know that when you're putting it all together. And then as you begin to get all the walls in there, you go like, you know, I can see this. I see the kitchen and the dining room. I see the bedrooms, the bathrooms. It's all starting to make sense. And so it is with walls in our life. And so we learn to think about walls and maybe even really appreciate walls. But loving walls, you wonder. But I think that Solomon would really understand and appreciate walls. He seems to show some real wisdom here. He says, like a city whose walls are torn down is a person without self-control. Interesting, isn't it? Now, Solomon, in a time when he would really appreciate that walls were around the city, walls were quite thick. And in fact, walls were so thick back then on a good city that 2 to 6 chariots, 2 horses wide, could fit across the wall, and they could ride along the wall. And they were able to actually shoot arrows and throw down spears from the top of a wall. And the important thing about a wall was it would keep enemy armies from coming in. And so the important thing about walls then is that it keeps the wrong things out and the right things in. And I wonder in our own lives, if we think about walls and we're thinking about sort of the great house of God and our houses, how good we are at appreciating walls and boundaries in our lives. Boundaries. Do you ever use that word? Boundaries are walls that help us to keep the wrong things out and the right things in. Boundaries. Do you ever talk about boundaries with your kids, right? And have your kids ever talked to you as they grow up about boundaries with them? And it's interesting because I think for a lot of us, particularly as Christians, sometimes we think, well, our role in life probably is to please everybody, because if we're going to love everybody, we're going to please everybody. Isn't that the way it goes, right? But you'll notice that Jesus didn't please everybody, did he? Jesus loved everybody, but he didn't do what everybody said he ought to do. Jesus knew what boundaries were. Jesus knew what boundaries were for his spiritual life, right? He carved out time daily, we see. And some of the Gospels write about that. Jesus daily took quiet time alone with the Heavenly Father to gather himself and to focus himself and to define his spiritual life, to define who he was. And then there's boundaries relationally, right? For our family and our loved ones, and then beyond that, kind of friends and what space they can occupy and what space they can't. And then, of course, we need emotional boundaries, which are often violated, right? And many times people come to me for counseling, and it's sort of an emotional violation of one sort or another. And we don't often articulate it enough. In fact, I must tell you that I'm doing 3 weddings this month, so I'd love to be part of weddings, but invariably, one of the things that comes up, and if it doesn't, it will before long, is boundaries, right? What are we going to do? Because, you know, for holidays, we now have 2 sets of parents and maybe grandparents, and our routine was to do this, and we want to please everybody. We want to go here. We want to go there, but we also would like to have our own family traditions for Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all those kinds of things. What do I say to my parents? From a 25-year-old sometimes, right? I'm not talking about the weddings this month necessarily, but I just tell you in general. And I say, you know, you need to have that discussion. You need to begin to say, here's who we want to be. This is what we want to do. Now, if you think that when you've got that sorted out, you've got it all over, you're woefully wrong, right? Because boundaries start all over, well, boundaries with our friends too, but what about with our kids, right? So that's a never-ending thing. So the roles switch, and we got to teach our kids boundaries, right? And you know, when they get to the 2 years old, they learn the word no, right? And so we need to discipline kids in a way that brings them up in the right way to boundaries. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about physical discipline at all, but we need to say that when something happens, then, you know, it has some consequences, and you have to learn those boundaries early, and you bring them into the discussion. So you talk about who you are and how you're going to carve out your space, and then what happens when they're teenagers? They want to please everybody, right? All the peers. Now, the Apostle Paul seems to know this very, very well, doesn't he? And I love that scripture verse, one of my favorite scripture verses, and we use it in lots of different ways, but it's also a good illustration of boundaries, isn't it? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pressure for your walls to be compromised, right? For your walls to be breached and be like everybody else, right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, the pressures of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, that word, conformed, is actually schizatomide. So if you're a little bit of an electrician, you know that it's from schematic. It's from a wiring diagram is what we call a schematic. And so it's not always just, you know, the pressures, but the internal wiring, the expectations of the world, that you're just going to look like this, you're going to dress like that, you're going to make everybody, the right people, happy. And if you don't, there's consequences to that. But we have to teach our children there's also to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it takes time to do that. We need to carve out spiritual time. We need to carve out time for worship, whether you're in church or at home, online. But we need to be transformed. That word is the same word as metamorphosis. in the Greek. So metamorphosis, you may recall, as we think about, my favorite illustration is when a caterpillar over time becomes a butterfly. That transformation process. And I think that if we allow God's word into our life and the Holy Spirit to mold us and make us, then God can transform us to who we need to be. But in order to do that, we need to have boundaries, don't we? Spiritual boundaries. Boundaries that will say, this is who I am and this is not who I am out back. And so it's interesting because the two best people, I'm going to say, in the world right now, on boundaries are actually Christians, and they've written all kinds of great books, and I always recommend them, by the name of Henry Cloud and Carl Townsend. So if you look up Cloud and Townsend, they're fabulous on boundaries, and what does it mean, right? To love people but not do what everybody wants you to do, right? And so one of the most important truths is, to put up there, is you have to learn to say no in order to say yes, right? And as Christians, sometimes we're taught that we need to say yes to everybody and everything, right? Because there's all kinds of good that's left to be done. And as a pastor, I can tell you at the end of every day, there's a million other things I could do. But when are you going to say no? When are you going to say no to this so you can say yes to that? And all of us in our lives need to be able to say no to this in order to be able to say yes to the right things. And it's interesting because D-Hawk, you have to go back a ways, but D-Hawk was the founding CEO of Visa Corporation. I know you know what Visa Corporation is this time of year. And he said that the most important thing he did is he learned that in his own life that he needed to spend about 10% of his time leading those above him, 20% of his time leading those around him, and 20% of time leading those below him, and 50% of the time learning to lead himself. 50% of his time learning to lead himself. Pretty amazing from the person who founded Visa Corporation, one of the most successful CEOs of all time, had a really good inner compass. And it's interesting because also Jim Collins, who wrote the great book, the classic business and actually organizational kind of thing, Good to Great. I don't know if you ever read that by Jim Collins. He's a great Christian, by the way. And he said he sort of studied what he called four-star leaders, four-star corporations, and five-star leaders in five-star corporations. He said one of the difference between that is that four-star leaders were really good at to-do lists, right? Does everybody besides me have a great to-do list? He said, but five-star leaders were really good at a stop-doing list. What's on your stop-doing list? Beginning of the year, maybe you need to say, I'm going to stop doing this. And he said, you know, that defined them in a way that made them stellar leaders. They learned what it meant to have boundaries. I think Solomon would like that. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person without self-control. How are your walls? How are your boundaries? How are you doing at saying no at the right time, right? How are you doing with your stop doing list so you can say yes to the right things and so you can focus your energy and time on doing the right things? A lot of us have found that we've lost our joy. And when you drill down a little bit, I think we're all guilty of this at some point or another, you start hearing people, and it's not because they're not doing the things that they love, it's that they're doing the things they love, but they're no longer loving the things that they're doing. And one of the reasons for that is they're in the busyness syndrome. They're doing so many things. They've stacked up their to-do list with great things, by the way, but they don't know how to stop doing those things. And really, it leads us into the other thing that I want to say is there's a difference between helping and enabling. Oh, now we're getting home, aren't we? And the difference between helping and enabling, in case you don't know, I think most of us do know, is when you help a person, you're really trying to help them. The problem sometimes is our helping turns into enabling. And enabling comes from this. We help a person be dysfunctional because we want to feel good about helping people. And as Christians, we're especially susceptible to this, right? We want to rescue everybody. We want to love them, and we think that to love them is just to bail them out of everything that happens and starts with our kids, right? And Cloud and Townsend will tell you that if you don't establish those boundaries early in life and say, you know, there's some minor consequences in life, that the wrongs will just keep increasing and escalating until suddenly, instead of kind of breaking the rules at home, they're breaking the speeding rules on the highway. and they might get a ticket, and if that doesn't stop them, then maybe they're in an accident that's tragic and hurt someone or hurt themselves. So are we helping or are we enabling? And that's where the term tough love comes from, right? And Jesus practiced tough love. Jesus did help people. Jesus loved people, but he also knew when to say no. And he knew when to say, you need to do this in order to do that. How many times did he tell people to do something, right? Go down to the river and wash, not one time, but seven times. If you don't see, then go ahead and wash yourself again. Go down again, right? He gave people something to do so they would be involved and they would be empowered. If we're just doing it for them, we're not helping them. We are enabling them. And sometimes it takes a good look in the mirror, okay, because we have some holes in our life and we want to be loved. And sometimes it feels a little bit tough when someone says, well, you know, if you're not going to do what I want you to do, then you're not my friend. Or if our kid tells us, I don't like you for that, right? But then later on, if we really hold firm and you say, listen, my love is strong enough to say, if I love you, then I got to do what's best for you. And to just allow you to do this is not really to love you. It's enabling you. And down the road, bad things are going to happen. And sometimes we just need to have that heart-to-heart conversation. And they might walk off and go, psst. But then later on, how many times have you known kids to come back and say, you know, Dad, I was talking to some kids at school, and you were right. I can see it. And I don't have, you know, my daughter's not perfect, and, you know, yours isn't either. But listen, as parents and as adults, we all need to learn the difference between helping and enabling. And you might say, well, that really belongs more in a therapy session than on church Sunday morning. I couldn't beg to differ more with you. It belongs here in church. And Paul and Solomon, and I believe Jesus would agree with that. Because this is the widest context, and as the church, as people of faith, we're often manipulated by love, by other people's expectation, doing what everyone else wants us to do rather than doing what the Lord wants us to do. So let me ask you, how are your walls this morning? And I got some tools up here, but these aren't the tools that you need for that. You need to, you know, measure sometimes spiritually and relationally, emotionally. Where am I and where do I want to go? What are the priorities that I need in my life? You know, when you're aligning walls, we always do a lot of time sort of making sure that they're square and that they're plumb, right? Because if they're not right, even though it doesn't really look good, no matter how nice the colors are that we put on the walls and the paintings are, if they're not square, then there's going to be structural problems when the storms of life come, right? And so we need to pay attention to our own walls, because when the storms of life come, for ourselves, our spouse, our family, our kids, then we're not going to be able to stand true in life. And so today, think about, what are you saying yes to? More importantly, what are you saying no to so you can say yes to the most important things? Are you helping or are you enabling? Sometimes we just need to let some minor consequences come so that the bigger, harder consequences don't come down the road. Have you had talks with kids about holidays? Because holidays are coming up. You know, just say, listen, let's work some things out. We respect that you're a family, and we have a family. We developed our own traditions, and we do want to see you, but we want you to have your own lives, and we'll be okay. Sometimes they just need to hear you say that, right? So there's so many parts of our lives, so many components of our lives where walls are important. And so self-control is the biggest part of that. You know, it's interesting because in Galatians, Paul goes through the nine fruit of the Spirit. And the last gift of all those, right? Remember the nine? We did that over the summer. And the last one is sometimes called the forgotten gift. And you know what that gift, that fruit of the Spirit is? Self-control. That's right. And many people will tell you, scholars, therapists, who have you, that's the most important one, because self-control makes all the other fruit of the Spirit possible in your life. Because if you don't have self-control, then you're not going to take time to pray and read the Bible, to love in the right way. You're not going to take time to be able to say no in the right way. You're just not going to be able to develop that fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to take time with the Lord, too. So where are you with self-control? control. Billy Graham once said it this way, and I love this, and this is about the pressures of the world. He said, you know, it's not that the boat is in the water that's ever the problem. It's when the water gets in the boat. Walls, self-control, you need those. Is the water getting in your boat or in your house this morning? I want to close with this illustration, which I love. Of course, this is an interesting time in sports. So we were starving for sports, if you're a sports person like me. But now we've got all the sports going on at once, right? So one of the sports going on is in October normally is Major League Baseball. So that's a series that's on the right track in terms of time. One of the teams that's not in it, interestingly enough, but is the Red Sox. And I'm a Cubs fan, so just in case you're asking. But one of the interesting parks, probably the most interesting park, the most beloved park, is Wrigley Field. All right, but one of the most interesting parks in Major League Baseball is Fenway Park. And the reason it's interesting is because it has what they call the Big Green Wall, also known as the Green Monster. There's all kinds of lore and great stories about that. But it uniquely defines the ballpark, because you got sort of this left field, interesting porch, you got a deep center field, and then you have this awkward right wall. And it's so important to the team that has to play half their games there that in Fort Myers, where their practice stadium is, they built another green wall there that is just like that, because the hitters need to know what that wall is like, and the pitchers need to know how to pitch so that they can benefit from that wall best they can. And the announcers and even the team owners and managers said, you know, the wall defines who we are as a baseball team, and the wall defines who our players are. We pick our players that can hit in that field, and we train our pitchers so they can pitch and make the use that they can of that wall. And so I ask you today, what are your unique walls in your home, in God's great house? What do you need to do to define your spiritual, relational, and friendship boundaries and walls in a way that makes good sense so you can define who you are? The great Southern preacher I love said this: be who you is, because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't. Can't say that again, right? But in order to be who you are, you need to know who you're not. And you need to stop doing and being who you're not in order to be who God has truly called you to be. Expectations for other people, we want to love other people, but you need to be who God has called you to be, relationally, spiritually, emotionally. And if you do, great things will happen, and you'll feel a burden lifted, and you will be helping, rather enabling your kids in all of your relationships. Have strong walls. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about the wonder of walls that are so often forgotten and unappreciated, we realize that we do need good walls in our homes, but also good walls in our lives. Boundaries that define who we are and boundaries to define who we are not. So help us to be able to say no to the wrong things so we can say yes to the right things in our relationships, in our spiritual lives, and all of our life. And help us to realize that our love needs some training and grooming in this area, because we do want to love people, but sometimes we have to exercise some tough love so that we're really helping them. And Lord, help us to let go of some of the baggage that we have been carrying around and realize we just need to exercise some boundaries, some walls to define who we are and who you want us to be. We pray all this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.